Hello, I'm Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment.
I'm Mike Foster, the entrepreneur's mentor.
And you are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben and Mike, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk.
And our show introduces you to local trusted experts, whilst we also talk about topics that you, the listeners, tell us is impacting on local businesses and their owners.
For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show, but for more info and Business Brunch related content, please do head over to getradio.co.uk. I definitely recommend it.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben and Mike, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Good morning. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with Ben and Mike. My name's Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment and indeed the Oxford Business Community Network.
And my name is Mike Foster, the entrepreneur's mentor. So what's on today's show? Well, a couple of weeks ago, Ben and I read an article in the news that we felt we had to cover on today's show. We know it's a topic that has much focus here in the local tech ecosystem here in Oxfordshire, and that the county has a great reputation for the area of expertise we're going to be talking about today. Now, we made some calls, we sent some messages, and we found that actually not too many people actually wanted to come on and share their expertise after we contacted them. But perhaps there's a reason about marketing and reality, and perhaps we'll get talking about that a little bit more. But as always, we have a guest with you today. On today's show, I can assure you that the topic we're going to be talking about is much wider than Oxfordshire, and it's much wider than just business. But we will be exploring how it is impacting on businesses here in Oxfordshire. And on today's show, we look forward to welcoming Kareem Sakat, who's the CEO of Oxford Engineering Group and also a member of the Board of Advisors of the AI Forum. And I've learned today is a pro-class motor racing driver, which we may even get a chance to explore as well. But Ben, let's kick off with my usual question. And today, it's a simple one, really. What is artificial intelligence?
Mike, that's a great question. And a question that I'm sure everybody across the country would love to know the answer to, and maybe some different answers. We're going to be exploring this later in the show, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about some general business with Kareem. This is the Business Brunch with Ben and Mike. We'll be welcoming Kareem after this. Get Radio. Welcome back. This is the Business Brunch with Ben and Mike on Get Radio. So now is the point where we are really delighted to introduce our guest today. We're joined by Kareem Sakat, the CEO of Oxford Engineering Group and also member of the board of the advisors at the AI Forum. Welcome, Kareem.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure being with you.
Thank you so much for joining us. So please start by telling listeners all about you and indeed your background, if that's okay.
So I'm the managing director of Oxford Engineering Group. We are one of the top 10 UK manufacturers. We're very strong in high technology markets like nuclear, for example, medical, aerospace, and so on. We have been serving world leaders in making parts, assemblies, welded fabrication, testing of their main assemblies and sending them to them worldwide for the last 55 years or so. So we try to focus on a product of quality, on time, and of course, at a reasonable cost. So we start from raw materials and then we machine them and then we weld them and we do all sorts of manipulations to them so that they conform to what the OEM, like Siemens, for example, mm-hmm. or Varian in the medical field. We do a lot of body scanners, or Thales, for example. Or in the nuclear, we do certain things that I'm not allowed because of the Official Secrets Act to talk about too much. But it gives you an idea of the level of high tech that we're dealing with. Our vision is to be a company worthy of high regard, which is one of the mission statements that has been featured in Timothy Foster's 101 Great Mission Statements, how the world-leading companies run their businesses. So we have state-of-the-art facilities, the latest CNC machines, the latest automation machine that can work unmanned, day or night or weekend shift. We have the latest equipment in terms of quality of CMM, so coordinate measuring machines. We have the latest laser one. I believe there's only two in the country. One is owned by Red Bull Formula One team, and the other one is at our premises. And we have been called by a previous Secretary of State a jewel in the crown of British engineering. What we do is we try to get the best out of people, technology, software, and processes in order to go to the edge of what is capable nowadays and offer a high technology product.
Amazing. No, amazing. Some really, really good insight there that I'm really keen to build on over the remainder of the show. But before that, to learn a little bit more about you outside the world of work, we always ask our guests to pick a song for our listeners this morning. And you've kindly done so. So share with the listeners, what is your song choice and why did you pick it?
Well, the song I choose is Future by Power of Stella and James Deacon. And the reason is really what we're going to talk about today is artificial intelligence. The question we are asking about the future, and some people embrace the future. Some people are more frightened by it. And I'm one of the most optimistic guys. So that's the reason I chose this song.
Oxfordshire Station, get radio.
This is the Business Brunch with Ben and Mike here on Get Radio. Welcome back to our show, where we look to share the knowledge, experience and the expertise of our guests whilst we discuss a topic of interest to you, our listeners. And today, as we've mentioned, we're talking about artificial intelligence or AI. And as you heard before that song, Kareem is our expert that's joining us today, who's the MD CEO of Oxford Engineering Group and a member of the Board of Advisors at the AI Forum. So Kareem, just to kick off that opening big question, what is artificial intelligence or AI?
AI is used now for all sorts of things, and everyone has a different definition. But if we look at the core of what is artificial intelligence, is asking computers to perform certain tasks that so far only the human, because of its intelligence, was able to perform. So how do we perform certain tasks? For example, when we drive a car, we get the data around us. It gets into our brain and we make certain decisions. We have to brake or we have to turn left and so forth. So we make those decisions based on the data around us. And now we're asking the computer to make those decisions for us. But it is based on the set of data we are giving the computer. It's based on an algorithm, a computer software program, where we tell the computer how to look for this data and what to do with it.
No, really fascinating. And just in terms of Oxford Engineering, as you touched on, globally renowned for your intelligence and for your use of technology. Do you see a day where most businesses will use artificial intelligence in some way?
We are already using artificial intelligence. Since the beginning of industrialization, what we have tried to do is to use mechanical means, software means, processes to perform tasks that we have been performing before and make them faster, make them more precise, and so also to lower the cost. So because a computer usually is at a lower cost than a human being, it's a lot more repetitive. It doesn't make mistakes. It doesn't go on holiday. It doesn't go ill and so forth. So I think it's a fallacy to think that artificial intelligence has just started today. Since you could argue that when Microsoft started with Word, for example, is already artificial intelligence. You know, we're hitting on a key, it's saying a word. Yes, it's not very intelligent, but it's doing a task that we ask it to do. And as we are moving forward with technology, we will continue to ask more and more complicated tasks. Mm. Also, for example, in my industry, there is a huge amount of guesswork. A client comes with a set of drawings. So how much is it going to cost to make that part? We don't really know. Are we going to use a big machine that costs a lot of money or a smaller machine? Are we going to hold it this way or that way? Are we going to turn it for half an hour or for 45 minutes? And if I ask my estimators, as qualified as they are, they all have a natural bias that is based on their experience. If they were working before on small machine, they will prefer those small machine because they understand them in and out. So if I give five of my estimators the same part, they're going to come back with a different price. And it's not because we don't know what we're talking about. This is what the industry is grappling with, and it is happening on a day-to-day basis. So what we try to do is get smarter at it. So before artificial intelligence, the way we got smarter at it is putting processes, telling people if it's a certain size, a certain material, a certain tolerance, it should be done this way because we had success this way and not another way. And so we need to continue that development. And it is happening today. A lot of people are starting in artificial intelligence. Some people are investing huge amount of money. We are investing money as well. We have our own artificial intelligence program. We won a competition, a national competition last year. So we're doing it with the help of the University of Manchester. We're doing it with the help of the government, and we're developing our AI solutions. And I am sure other people are doing it. So it's not something that is new. A lot of people are doing it. Like the emergence of the internet, a lot of people are going to fail and a few are going to succeed.
Really great. Actually, that's the most easiest way I've actually understood it when someone's explained it to me before. So thank you for that. And hopefully our listeners have found that useful as well. And you're quite right in terms of, I guess, the article that we referenced earlier, that why we wanted to talk about it today is all around the explosion of ChatGPT and suddenly artificial intelligence is on our doorstep. But, you know, we know that that isn't what artificial intelligence is purely about. So can you give us any sort of flavor for our listeners in terms of how artificial intelligence is being used right now?
So, yeah, well, you mentioned ChatGPT. I believe everybody knows what it is. It's basically, to me, a search engine on steroids. But it's also about driverless cars, for example. We know that a lot of people have attempted and are attempting to do that. At present, the results, for example, for those cars is that they will cause less accidents than humans. But we will still be fearful. There'll be a lot of legal implication, ethical implication, and so forth before we want someone to be responsible for causing an accident. We don't want it to be a machine, even though today we can prove that the machine on its own would drive better than people on the road. So the real question is, it's used everywhere. It's used for facial recognition, for example. I was on vacation in Mauritius, and I was astounded by the number of cameras you had. And clearly it is facial recognition. So I started talking to people and they're saying to me, yeah, the Chinese have invested a lot. And, you know, we talk about surveillance. And this is a few years ago, we had the questions in the UK whether we should have cameras everywhere on the streets or not. It's about the same thing. Certain things are for a good reason, knowing whether a car is speeding, where it should not be speeding, or who caused an accident, or was there a criminal, on site and they've been caught and now there is proof that this person has performed that act. And some of it will be used for nefarious reasons. And we don't want that. But what I'm trying to tell people when they're scared about artificial intelligence is we need to be scared about ourselves. We didn't wait for artificial intelligence before we started wars or genocides or slavery or any kind of very, you know, nasty things that we have created. So we can use those tools like nuclear warheads. Yes, we need to be very careful. Now we could explode the whole Earth, you know, if everyone started to act silly. But it's all based on humans. How do we use that technology? There will be very good things with that technology and very bad things. Artificial intelligence in the medical field, for example, can now detect early cancer, for example, where the human eye cannot detect it. Because the computer can generate so many millions of simulations, you know, a second, that even the most expert medical researcher would need years to find out. So there is huge benefit. And like in any technology, we need to rein it in to keep the positives about that technology and to make sure that people don't use it in a negative way. But it's about us, human beings. How are we going to treat the approach of artificial intelligence? What we're going to allow, what we're not going to allow. We don't allow people here in the UK to walk around with guns and shoot one another, yet guns exist. It will be the same problematic for artificial intelligence, and I am glad that we have started talking about it. The real difficulty, though, is that the people in charge of making those decisions do not really understand that technology. And we saw it recently, for example, when the CEO of TikTok was quizzed in the US, and you could see that actually the senators didn't understand the basic of that technology when asking questions such as, can TikTok access your Wi-Fi? Well, your phone needs to access your Wi-Fi to exchange data. It's got nothing to do with TikTok. And even the CEO did not know how to answer that question, because it's got nothing to do with the app. So if people who are making those decisions and making those laws do not understand the issues at hand, that's really the scary bit.
No, absolutely. Yeah, real insight. We always make a joke on this show about having our notepads to side, and certainly we need a notepad for this one. So thank you. But we are going to go to a short break. We'll continue the conversation after this.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch with Ben and Mike on Get Radio. If, like me, you're absolutely amazed by what's being covered by Kareem here, so thank you so much for that. So I just want to bring the conversation on a little bit to the small business. What would be your advice to the small business owner listening that might not have a science or a tech business? Should they be using things like ChatGPT? Like, should they be looking at the ways they can use artificial intelligence within their small business?
Of course. I mean, ChatGPT, first of all, is free. Mm. Okay. So why don't you use it? You know, you want to learn about your competition, learn about who's acting in your area, ask ChatGPT. They may not have the answer. There is also a way to act with ChatGPT. You know, you need to refine your questions. So you also got to learn how to use it in order to get the best out of it. But a lot of small business owners need to know, how many people are active, you know, regionally, you know, within their competition field. Let's say their competition field is a 30-mile radius. At present, they have no ways of knowing who's acting in that business, who's their competition, maybe what the price is of the service, maybe what they need to include in that service. And there's a lot that can be learned with ChatGPT. It's gonna be a lot more useful for the small business owner at the beginning than the high-tech business, because the high-tech business needs to get it right with very fine tolerances, with very difficult problematics. So it is what we call a high mix, low volume. So therefore, the problematic is exponential. Whereas if you're, for example, a plumber, then your problematic is a lot less. And what you want to know is, you know, what you should get in your van, you know, what cut off part I use a lot more, you know, is it if you have a lot of new houses around you or not. So you still need to invest the time. If you want the answer, you need to invest the time. It is the early days of technology, and therefore it is more difficult to get the information that you require. That goes without saying. But, you know, as a small business owner, you should have a bit of time. So, you know, get on the internet. Just type on the internet how to best use ChatGPT, for example, and see how you can get value out of it. You know, and you can do that very easily. So there's a lot of, for example, for the small business owner, let's take the example again of the plumber. You have 3D printers. You have 3D printers that can print you plastic parts. They're very cheap. You can pick up now a 3D printer for £20,000. Imagine as a plumber, you don't need to buy another piece of plastic material if you have a 3D printer at home, and you can have those parts for every customer. And therefore, you can give them an immediate response rather than always go and try to back you too. So there are a lot of things that a small business owner, if they have the mind to it, you know, can get real value out of it.
Really useful. I want to come on to another part of your role in terms of being a member of the Board of Advisors at the AI Forum. Can you tell us a little bit more about the AI Forum, what it does, why it exists, and perhaps if you've got some insight in terms of why Oxford's become such a big central point of focus for artificial intelligence?
Well, the AI Forum tries to get to grapple with all the problematics of AI. I, of course, only deal with the industry that I am in, but AI is a touching point in everything in our lives. So we need to think about like ChatGPT, for example, is about visual perception, is about getting data and giving you an answer. I give you the example of driverless cars. That's a completely different set of issues. We are making parts. It's a completely different set of issues. So when we talk about artificial intelligence, we're talking really about every single profession you can imagine, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a dentist, whether you're a surgeon, whether you're a plumber, whether, you know, whatever you are. So there will never be enough expert in a new field like that. And what the AI Forum is trying to do is get experts in different fields to basically have advice, to write reports on the evolution of that technology, to try to give guidance to people where to go into, who are the big players in what market, you know, try to establish a quadrant so that people know, depending of where they are, whether they should invest money in it or not, or which direction. So it's like the beginning of the internet. There's just it's so big that you'll never be able to have enough experts on the market. And at the moment, nobody knows what kind of technology is going to win. There is no standard yet. So it's a minefield. And we're trying to get a sense of that. And nobody knows, even the experts will not know today what technology, you know, will bring. We are tracking, for example, what our competitors are doing. Some competitors have been raising tens of millions of pounds and invested all that money. We believe we have a better strategy. We believe that to this day, our products are more advanced than theirs. And of course, there is a part of everyone is hiding what they're doing, you know, before they go to market and so forth. But yeah, it is a minefield, and when we know how big decisions need to be made, for example, if you think of the Bank of England. I'm, for example, on the panel of the Bank of England, and we give them directions and monthly reports and what we're doing, our perception, our investments, our people, and so forth, so that they can get a view of the market. And based on all of that, they decide to either raise the interest rates or not raise the interest rate to get a flavor of that. And if you understand today the tools that they have at hand, it's very unsophisticated. It's reliable to a certain extent, but it's unsophisticated. And therefore, huge decisions that will affect millions and tens of millions of people are made based on data that is not very good. And so there is a real appetite to get better data to make better decisions. And that's what it's all about. Because if we make the wrong decisions, then we're going to end up having a huge amount of waste. And you've been following in the UK the big challenge of Brexit. And let's not talk politically, but whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, whether it sells or doesn't sell. But economically, it is a bad idea. And that could have been proven by data. But of course, it was a political discussions and a political fight between different people. But economically, there was never a question whether we would pay a price and what price would be paid. Therefore, a true message should have been, we want to be independent. That's the price to pay. Are we up for it? Are we not up for it? Would have been a far better question to ask rather than everyone trying to push their own agenda and seeing who's the better agenda that's going to win. Because at the end of the day, regardless of those politics, that price will be paid and is being paid today. And therefore, we need to have a better grasp of it. So the politicians have to have a better grasp of it. The Bank of England needs to have a better grasp of it. All the players need to have a better grasp for it. It is in our interest. It is in my interest that we have a very good scanner if I get cancer. It's in my interest that we have artificial intelligence telling the surgeons what to do, what to perform, how much to take out of my body, how much is enough but not too much, so that I have a better life, a longer life, and a better quality of life. So all of those decisions are based on data. So it's very important that we get more and more data so that we make the better decisions, which is why I believe that Oxford Engineering is very well placed in the artificial intelligence, because we have a group of companies. And for the last 4 years, we have been gathering data. So we have more than 80,000 tools, for example. Every tool can perform a different task. And we have a number of different machines. Every machine can have different specification and speed and feed and so forth. So unless you feed that animal, you feed that algorithm, it can't learn by itself, you know, and that's really the big challenge. So we need to embrace it, and we need to be ready to make mistakes, because mistakes are going to be made. You know, artificial intelligence based on bad data is going to give you strong bias. And we could see that in certain applications where they say, well, artificial intelligence is racist. Well, no, we fed it the wrong data. And therefore, based on that data, it gives us an answer that is not palatable to us. But it is based on that wrong data that we gave it. The computer has no morals. We have morals. And that's what we need to remember.
No, again, really, really insightful, really insightful. We are going to go to another song. We'll continue the conversation after this.
The Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by We Do HR Support. Leave your HR to the experts so you can focus on what you do best.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch with Ben and Mike on Get Radio. Today, we're learning all about artificial intelligence, but also really kind of the logic and the real kind of skill behind science and tech here in Oxfordshire. Kareem, I just want to really talk to you about something I heard the other day. And so I was fortunate to go to an Experience Oxfordshire event where they had the people behind AstraZeneca. And they were saying that during COVID, things that would normally take 20 years happened in 20 weeks. And really, science and tech came together for that exact example that you used to save life. You know, we all wanted to be cured of COVID, as do people with cancer. Do you see that artificial intelligence will speed up technology and will speed up the way that there's breakthroughs, whether that be to solve cancer or whether that be driverless cars or whether that be all of these things? Do you think that artificial intelligence will almost bring processes that historically have taken a long, long time to invent a lot further forward?
So, okay, there's really two issues in what you've just said. One issue is how we dealt with COVID. Mm. And it is no surprise that we found a solution quite quickly with COVID because it was a world event, because it was a pandemic. Every government around the world have decided to dedicate their resources to solving one issue. Whereas before, all the researchers was trying to resolve thousands and thousands of issues, all the resources were focused on solving one issue. And therefore, instead, for example, if you are developing a vaccine, you are waiting for the government to come back to you for months with an answer whether it is safe or not safe. As soon as you issue the vaccine, they're on top of it. And they're doing the clinical trials and they're giving you the answers straight away because you are fast tracked. It doesn't mean that it has been done on the cheap. It doesn't mean that we didn't do the necessary checks and security and everything behind it. It just means it has been fast-tracked by everybody. All the researchers were on it. All the companies were on it. All the manufacturers were on it. Huge investment was put forward. Therefore, as soon as there is a solution, it is checked. As soon as it is secured, it is manufactured. As soon as it is manufactured, we're thinking about the distribution, and therefore we had the jabs very quickly. That has nothing to do with artificial intelligence. It has to do with the will of the governments around the world to exchange data, to help one another, and to focus on one issue, and therefore we solve it early.
That's great, Kareem. Thanks again for your insight, making it so sound so simple for something I thought was overly complex before. So just showing my level of intelligence to a degree. The thing I wanted to touch on is the fear of AI taking over jobs or perhaps taking over the role of a whole business. Or, as we learned before we came on air, your role as a motor racer and taking away your passion. What would be your response to someone who's got a fear of their business being eroded by AI in the future?
Look, this question has been asked since time immemorial, since we started with the printing press. We started thinking it's going to take our jobs. So you can think throughout history that we thought of that. And yes, it is going to make certain jobs redundant, but it's going to create so many other opportunities. we can see through history that it has been the case. You know, at no point did new technology eliminate the job so that we all became jobless and we didn't have anything to do. It has opened up a huge amount of possibilities. So that's what I want really people to focus on. But let's imagine that artificial intelligence will be able to make us all jobless. That means that actually it's doing all the jobs that needs to be done. That is planting the veg, and that it's, you know, growing the veg, and that it's providing our meat, and that it's making our cars, and all of us don't have to work anymore, and we can enjoy ourselves, you know, on the beach and whatnot, because we have a roof over our head, and we have our cars, and we have our food, and that's great as well. So I don't think there is no reason to panic as to the fact that it's going to take certain jobs. No, it's going to change the landscape. Certain jobs that are based on the human making calculations that are predictable are not going to be needed anymore. And it's going to facilitate certain jobs, and it's going to make certain jobs redundant, and it's going to open a huge number of other jobs. And like every introduction of new technology, it will change the landscape. So we need to be open to it, like we have been. Industrialization has changed the face of how we work and how we live. Globalization has changed the face of how we work and how we live. When we started buying a lot of or T-shirts and so forth from Asia, a lot of companies in Europe thought, well, we're all going to fail because they're at a cheaper cost. But actually, it started a lot of new business. A lot of brands started. We started buying more T-shirts and so forth. And that created new jobs. So, yeah, jobs will change.
That's just created a second question for me, because I do a lot of work with secondary schools in the careers program in Didcot. And one of the things we always struggle to answer, really, is the jobs of the future. Because 5 years ago, the jobs that are currently at Google didn't exist, so we couldn't put that on people's career programs. What would be your advice to a young person that wants to get into something new, a new tech or a new, it doesn't quite exist at the moment? How do they sort of approach that in their planning or their thought process?
So the first thing that I tell my children is study things where you can be versatile, because I cannot tell you what you're going to be doing in 10 years' time. And nobody could tell me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that I would be spending time on artificial intelligence. 30 years ago, you know, when I grew up, there were no computers at school. There was no, you know, there was no Google search engine to try to find out the definition of a word, or if we didn't know, we had to look at our books, and that's it. So we were all working on static old data. That's what it means, you know. And then the advent of the internet and Google, and now we work with dynamic data. So was I able to manage that transition? Of course I was, because that technology doesn't come from one day to the next. So to the young people today, I would say be open to learn. It's about learning. You know, I finished my business school, but after that, I went back to Cranfield for another course. When I started being interested in artificial intelligence, I did a course with Berkeley University in the US. You need to learn. And there is no more age of learning. It's not about, oh, I have my A-levels, now it's finished. I've got my university degree, now it's finished. In a changing world, you need to be able to change and adapt. I think that's the biggest advice I have to give to the kids. And then instead of trying to see what is the next winner or what's in the next winner, try to see what interests you. And if it interests you, you will be naturally pulled there. And even if you back the wrong winner, then you'll have learned so much that's going to help you on your next experience. Because you can't jump, for example, into artificial intelligence if you don't have the building blocks. So you need to be able to be a good juggler before you start, you know, wanting to play in the circus. So start with three balls and then add to it and then add to it and add throughout your life. A lot of people get lost and get scared about today's world because they have stopped learning.
No, amazing. No, really, really insightful. One of the things that we like to do on this show, almost towards the end of the show, and we are coming towards the end of the show, unfortunately, I could definitely go for another hour, is we like to give the listeners a top tip, so something to share, which feels a bit strange to do because you've been given tips throughout the whole show. But if you were to put your, if you were to give a tip to the general small business owner of Oxfordshire that's listening to this show now, almost one take, takeaway, what would that be? What would that takeaway be, or what would that piece of advice be?
I think ChatGPT, we talked about it before. I think that is going to solve a huge amount of problems. And it is not today, it's not great, it's not there. But if you want to use it properly in a year, 2 years, 3 years' time, start learning it now. And there are different ways to learn it, and you won't know how to use it. You think you just put your first phrase and it doesn't give you your exact result. So you give up and you say, oh, this technology is not good. You have to learn how to use that technology as well. It's about like learning to drive a car. You can't just jump in a car at 16 and you don't know where the gearbox is and you don't know where the throttle is and think you can drive off the courtyard. It doesn't work that way. It does require a little bit of learning. So the little tip that I have, don't be frightened of ChatGPT or of the big tech, the big companies. The big companies are not gonna take your work away, but get into the mix.
Amazing. No, thank you. And what a way to end the show. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing such insight to the listeners. We really, really appreciate it. If you are just tuning in, you're going to have to wait until Monday on the Get Radio socials to listen back, but I'd certainly recommend doing so. So we have been joined by Kareem Skekat, of CEO of Oxford Engineering Group and also member of the Board of Advisors at the AI Forum. Thank you so much for your time and contribution to our discussion.
Thank you both and have a nice day, everyone.
You've been listening to the Business Brunch with Ben and Mike here on Get Radio. We're back next Sunday with brand new guests. And our guests next week will be Josh Cox of Pristine Web Solutions, Ian Lowry of Science Express, and Jane Abbott of the Marketing Shed. And we're going to be talking about all things marketing. And just finally, a reminder of how you can catch the show. You can listen in via the radio or online each Sunday at 11 o'clock. We have the podcast format that's available in all your favourite podcast platforms, which is released on a Monday morning. And then look out for the video format that's posted on the Get Radio Facebook page or on their website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday and we'll see you next week.